This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. For those who have a little bit of a sweet tooth, indulging in desserts can get a little guilt-inducing, thinking about the potential impact that has on our bodies as a whole, and admittedly, our waistlines. As an alternative, how about healthy ice cream that's not only made from locally sourced natively grown fruits, but is also, as a bonus, absolutely adorably styled after the very fruit it's made out of. I have the executive director of Kun Huat Agriculture Group, Kohan Sang, here to discuss the 3D ice cream brand Musang Wang.
Thank you, Christine, for inviting. Hi, everyone. I'm Han Sing, Executive Director of Kun Huat Agriculture Group. Our group has been in existence for more than 30 years, where we started off from a simple farm, and till now we developed into a value chain business model, whereby we have it from farm, logistics, marketing, research, fruit value adding, export, and e-commerce.
And you guys have been around, like you said, since roughly the 1990s, and you're based in Malacca, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so now you've been around for a long time. You've been creating this environment for fruit-related agriculture, and you guys produce, you know, coconuts and mangoes and things of that sort. But it was only fairly recently that you guys decided to create this brand of Musang Wang ice cream, right? Tell us a little bit about that, how it got started back in 2018.
Right, so basically, the journey started for a simple reason. Foodie's obsession. So me, myself, being a foodie, raised and born in Malaysia, specifically in an agriculture group family, well, we love to try out frozen fruit-based desserts since young. So I'm always on the look to seek for healthier and those ice cream or gelatos which would evoke the richness of the original fruits. So since I've been looking for it for quite some time, I thought to myself, hey, why not I try making it on my own? So it started off as a personal interest where I share with my friends and families till 2018. Musang Wang came into existence because plenty of friends, they recommended and strongly asked us to go into the market. Yeah, that's how it started.
Okay, so that's really interesting. Now, did it start with just the ice cream itself before it took on the 3D idea of design?
Yes, you're right, Christine. Actually, in fact, it was a conventional ice cream, just that the flavor itself is very strong because we are a group of farmers. We have all these great ingredients where we can just add on to it. That's the reason of why we came up with this ice cream. And thereafter, it evolved to 3D for a particular reason, of course.
I mean, tell me that reason. How did it evolve into 3D ice cream?
You know, because we want to be special and we want to be different from the others. Back in 2018, when we first started, everything goes well. Just that for some particular reason, it seems that we are the same compared to others. Of course, the flavor is good. The flavor is strong. However, when they take photos of our ice cream with themselves, we look just like any ordinary ice cream. So that's the reason of why we thought that we put a team together to think about something special, something unique, and we ended up with 3D. Well, the reason being, we're in Malaysia, so we would like to harness the tropical Malaysia fruit, such as durian, coconut, mango. By taking pictures, putting on an Instagram, they will be able to tell what are they eating. So this is something like a symbolic that we have in Malaysia. And this is the one thing that we want to promote internationally.
Right, I see. So first of all, in terms of your ice creams makeup themselves, they're generally, at least you aim to make them slightly healthier than all the alternatives out there. First of all, they are based on the fruit itself. You know, they have a lot of the natural fruit pulp in the mixture as well, from what I understand. And they're designed to be a little bit less preservative heavy, for example. You know, there are lots of ice creams on the market that have a lot of additives and preservatives in them, and you aim to avoid that. So that's one of the unique selling points, I suppose.
Precisely.
Is this healthier alternative,
yep.
First of all. But then second of all, past that point, you realized that you needed to distinguish yourself visually as well, right?
Correct.
And I would also assume that in that journey to not have preservatives, additives, that included, for example, food coloring, where maybe, you know, other companies would use that to make their ice cream pop a bit more visually, mm-hmm. But that wasn't obviously not an option for you in terms of mm-hmm. making your product visually striking, right?
Correct.
Right, I see. And so from that point, you know, looking at 3D ice cream, so just to contextualize for our listeners, yeah. right? When we say 3D ice creams, people might be just thinking, ice cream is already 3D, right? It's already a product. But what we mean to say is that the ice creams are modeled after the fruit that they're based on, so they look like the fruit that they're based on. So, for example, your coconut ice cream looks like a little slice of coconut.
Yep.
Your avocados look like a little halved avocado.
That's right.
There's a lot of pictures on your, like you said, on your social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram mm-hmm. as well. Obviously, a fantastic marketing tool. But before we get into that, take me through that research and development process of actually creating 3D ice creams that not only look like the ingredients that they're based on, but also still taste good in the process.
Well, the whole R&D process was, I would say, interesting, because we need to start from somewhere rather than cups and scoops. So basically, we visited plenty of producers around the world, like China, Italy, as well as those exhibitions where we go seek for all those ingredients that we can use it for our 3D. However, we are not able to seek those that we want. So we have no choice but to use handcrafted. So we developed handcrafted, and we managed to create our own mold, which we have patented. And I would say the whole process was really satisfying, because we managed to achieve what we want. I think just based on our own definition, we got what we want in terms of flavor, in terms of the texture, in terms of the mouthfeel. We tend to present or have something that we want in mind, I mean, in real fact.
Mm. And also, I think part of the process as well was trying to figure out how the ice creams can maintain their shape in addition to looking like the thing that they're supposed to be, right? I mean, for example, you have to make a few caveats here and there. The coconut ice cream, for example, has a chocolate shell, right? First of all, to mimic the coconut husk. But second of all, structurally, I would assume that that would work better rather than, for example, again, going back to some sort of artificial additive or going back to some way of like coloring coconut brown or something like that. You just decided to use that, you know? So tell me a little bit about that balance, right? Between making them like structurally integral and also making sure that they still have that base flavor that you want to get out.
I believe since our unique selling point being no preservative, no artificial coloring, and no artificial flavoring, we have quite limited ingredients to use, because now with all the scientific chemicals, we have plenty to use if we go for that direction. But no, because we wanted something different. So our team would, R&D, I would say, at the beginning, say, for example, coconut. So coconut, you'll see that it's something like a cone shape, something like a shape. But so we have to do it handcraftly. So why we choose chocolate, Belgian chocolate, as a base? Because it's brown in color. When it's brown in color, it's totally smooth when we get it from the blast freezes. So how to get the husk feel, the shell? We have no choice, but we need to buy plenty of painting brushes to paint it, to try it over and over again till we get the right texture. So that's how. That's one of it, I would say.
Right. And roughly how long did the process take for each product to be developed into a viable prototype?
Months. Say around 3 to 6 months. That's the beginning, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Towards the Phase 4 6 product, I would say it'll take easily about 2 to 3 months.
Right.
Just that the developing of the mold will take some time.
Mm-hmm. So, but now that you guys are more familiar with the kinds of natural ingredients you could use in order to sort of mimic the structures of things or the way to design certain shapes and stuff like that, you are more familiar with that process now. So if you were to release new products, now that R&D process wouldn't be as long.
Of course.
Right.
I see. Wishfully, everything would be smooth, you know?
All right. So also, from what I understand, you have primarily it's coconut, mango, durian, avocado off the top of my head. There are, however, some fruits that the Kun Huat Agriculture Company does create that you haven't quite utilized yet in your ice creams at the moment. Is that something that's in the works for the future?
It's actually in the pipeline, such as watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
We have developed a hybrid jackfruit, where it's a crossover between jackfruit and cempedak. It's actually Nangka cempedak, so we get a balance of both. We get the creaminess of the cempedak, and we get the fragrance of the jackfruit.
Right. So whatever innovations that the agricultural group come up with, that will slowly sort of start to seep its way into the supply chain for Musang Wang.
Yeah, definitely, because we get to choose the best. We get to choose a premium fresh ingredient to put it in the ice cream.
Brilliant. All right, well, it's time to take a short break for some messages, but after that, I will continue my conversation with Ko Han Sang, Executive Director of Kun Huat Agriculture Group, about their 3D ice cream brand, Musang Wang. You're listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9. I'm Christine Wong, and today I'm speaking to Ko Han Sang. He is the Executive Director of Kun Huat Agriculture Group, and today we're talking about their 3D ice cream brand, Musang Wang. Before the break, we talked a little bit about the creation of Musang Wang as a subsidiary of Kun Huat Agriculture Group and their unique selling point of their ice creams being shaped to look like the ingredients that they are based on as well. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about the production process. You mentioned before the break that your ice creams are handcrafted.
Yes.
To what extent does that affect, obviously, the production process as well in terms of timing when you think about each individual item being handcrafted?
Well, the reason of us choosing handcraft is, I would say, it leaves us no choice because we couldn't be using those stainless steel mold whereby the whole feel, the curve, the edge, you won't feel like the real thing.
Mm.
So there's a reason of why we're using those mold. So basically, the gelato that we developed, we can do it ourselves, whereby after that, we need to freeze all the molds. After freezing all the molds, we need to do every single step. So let's take coconut, for example. Coconut, we will need to first have a layer of chocolate. You need to blast freeze it. Thereafter, take it out, put it in another layer of butter and coconut gelato, freeze it again. Lastly, take it out, the brush, to have the feel of the husk.
Mm. So because you want your products to look natural, as a result, you can't rely on automation to have the same effect, right?
Just up to a certain extent.
Mm. Certain elements, I suppose, could be, like you mentioned, you have the mold that you've patented. But in terms of, for example, as you mentioned before the break, that roughness of the husk, for example, or perhaps like textural components that, you know, in nature, right, are a bit rougher around the edges. You can't really mimic roughness, really, with like an automation process. That's interesting. And also, you know, one of the interesting things about your product specifically is that at the moment, a lot of other, especially food and beverage companies, are suffering from massive issues with the supply chain. They're unable to, let's say, import a lot of their raw ingredients. But you don't have that problem so much because your products are locally sourced from Melaka, right? From your agricultural roots, quite literally roots in Melaka.
Basically from our base. Actually, we're only based in Melaka.
Mm-hmm.
We're only based in Melaka, but the whole plantation is scattered throughout Peninsula Malaysia.
Right. But essentially, you maybe did not run into as many of those supply chain issues, right? Because your products are all sourced locally.
Not that much.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So do you think that since you did not run into some of these supply chain issues, do you think that they gave you an advantage, especially during the pandemic when a lot of businesses were suffering from these issues?
Definitely. Because we don't do import. So we only utilize the resources which we have in the group itself. Of course, there's plenty of challenges faced, like labor shortage, rising costs of fertilizers and things like that. However, we are still having the competitive edge to have all the supplies that we want to, comparing to others, I would say.
Would you describe your supply chain as entirely local then?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. And, you know, talk to me a little bit about the production process in terms of your facilities, where they are, how many that you have, and as you mentioned, you know, navigating some of those issues like labor shortages during the pandemic as well.
During pandemic, I believe everyone can only... Well, we're lucky. We're lucky because we are in the agricultural sector, so we're able to work rather than staying at home.
Mm.
So, say, for example, if I have more labor in a farm, which is being underutilized, I'll be shifting them over the plant. So from there, we're able to cater for the production schedule. So we're still able to produce what we want or what we need.
Mm. So I'm assuming also because you guys are both an agricultural company and a food and beverage company, you were deemed an essential service during the pandemic as well.
Yes.
So your operations weren't as affected necessarily as other businesses as well.
Weren't as affected, but at the beginning of the MCO, you know, everyone, we have no direction. So we just opened because we are considered essential sectors. Even though we applied for all the necessary documents, but you know, neighboring, they will still say, hey, you sure you can operate? So they will keep calling all the police officers. So that's how we got a bit of an obstacle at the beginning.
I see. And also, you know, in that handcrafting process, although obviously some of your processes are automated, but especially in light of the pandemic, you know, were there any extra health and safety measures that you were taking, especially in the handcrafting process?
Oh, definitely. I would say everyone will need to go through all the sanitization before they can really go into the production area. And when they need to leave or whatsoever, they still need to go through the same process.
Okay. Now, talk to me a little bit about getting your products out there. From what I understand, these ice creams are delivery only online. Is that correct?
Yes. During MCO, that's totally e-commerce. So you can only order online. That way, we'll deliver to your doorstep. But now we have entered some groceries.
Okay.
In KL. Something like a fresh grocery, and we also went to Genting as well. So there's a few places that you can get our ice cream.
Had you had that brick and mortar presence before the pandemic, or is this a new development?
I would say it's definitely a new development.
So, you know, talk to me about the delivery part of that, first of all. I mean, obviously you had to pivot to e-commerce, or you had to focus on e-commerce during the pandemic. But tell me about the logistics of delivering ice cream. You know, especially because it is a product that doesn't have as much preservatives or anything like that. How do you deliver that to people without it completely melting?
Well, good question. The main factor would be the cold chain. We need to ensure that the cold chain is there. We couldn't break the cold chain. So how do we do this? Well, we're lucky enough to have a team based in KL. So from there, we are able to educate them on how to preserve, how to pack it. So how to pack it with our recyclable ice pack. We put it in and we need to deliver within 3 to 4 hours. So, well, I would say it was smooth during MCO. It was smooth in terms of delivery as well as the ordering. But they, I would say one rider can go about 15 to 16 orders. But that's during MCO, not now.
I mean, talk to me about that. How are you navigating that issue now?
Well, now we need more riders because of the congested traffic on the road. So that's the reason why we need to have a few stockies all around to cater for this issue.
And at the moment, do you deliver all across Peninsular Malaysia as well?
For now, I would say only those main cities.
Which are?
Klang Valley, Selangor, Johor, Ipoh. Well, Ipoh will cover for Penang as well. So I would say Center Pahang and East Coast, not yet.
Right. But I'm presuming that you're working on it and that's probably also in the pipeline as
well. We wish to.
Okay. So right now, basically, you're sort of looking at navigating how to continue keeping that cold chain up even as traffic is building. And that's something that you're navigating at the moment as well. Interesting. All right. Well, you also mentioned that you've partnered now with some stockists, some groceries. Tell me a little bit about creating those relationships and sort of convincing these particular grocers to have your goods in store.
Well, I think we have a good group of consumers where about after they eat, they will feel like having a partnership or collaboration with us. So from there, we're able to move on to more groceries because it's spread by mouth, I would say.
Okay. And before we go, tell me a little bit about the pricing as well. Now, from what I gather, these are priced a little bit higher than maybe like a typical quote-unquote ice cream. Obviously, you have some of those elements, like they are handcrafted, that they have a unique visual appeal, that they're made from the local fruits and also have less preservatives and all that. But you know, one popsicle or one 3D ice cream is priced at about anywhere from 13 to even 20 ringgit, with some other products that you have as well, mm-hmm. Going up to you know, even 35 ringgit as well. So tell me a little bit about how you've justified that price point and how that compares to other ice creams within your market.
Well, price positioning is precisely obvious. Well, why? Because first thing, we are healthier. Well, secondly, other than the what we can promise our consumers, being we have the visual beauty, as well as the flavorful texture, not to mention that we have no preservative, no artificial coloring, and no flavoring. So from that itself, I believe, well, the range of the price is only for artisanal 3D ice cream, whereby we have a normal range as well for the cups.
Mm.
That started off around 10 that we have in the market.
Right. So you do also have, I guess, more traditional ice cream products in addition to these 3D ones.
Yes, we do.
So you have your pints, I believe, of, I believe,
yeah,
the cocoa
cups.
Is one
we
of them.
We have cups as well.
You've got cups as well. So
yeah.
If people are, you know, not, if people are more driven to sort of more traditional ice cream products, they can also find those as well.
For
within
sure.
Your means.
That's how we started.
Brilliant. Okay. And finally, tell me a little bit about what the future of Musang Wang is. What are your plans in developing the business further?
Well, the brand itself, Musang Wang, firstly, it was supposed to be durian related. Just that along the way, it turned out to be Malaysian fruits driven.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, I believe we will still continue to strive for better improvement, to go for, to promote Malaysia's culture internationally. So, well, our main objective is to bring happiness to everyone in the world. So we wish that with our frozen dessert, be it 3D artisanal or the conventional ones, we will make your day.
All right, fantastic. Thank you very much, Han Seng, for joining me in the studio today to talk all about Musang Wang.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Yitin.
You've been listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. I've been speaking to the executive director of Kun Huat Agriculture Group, Goh Han Seng, about their 3D ice cream brand, Musang Wang. If you've missed any of today's interview, you can go ahead and download the podcast. You can find it on our app that is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. And you can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen to this and more. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.